Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. I'm Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Doug. How are you?
Well, I'm just, I'm doing so dandy, I can't believe it. You know, since we were ready for this, it's actually quite a delight. But most people, they are having a miserable time. And no matter whether the numbers are 60,000 or 30,000, which I think they're more like 30,000 or less, we send out our prayers and blessings for all those who are dying, not only of the coronavirus, but also the flu and the pneumonia and heart disease and all the people who are suffering, especially because of this quarantine. Now, because of the quarantine, I don't know, you can't go out of your house. So I figure you just dug a tunnel from your house straight into the earth and connected to your tunnel that goes to China. But we, because we are crazy and the conclave couldn't quite figure this out, and Betsy and her team, I don't know if people understand this. Sometimes she and her team just get a bone and they throw it. And then, you know, your researchers, our researchers, we just go after that bone, right? Just because, why? I don't know. Someone threw a bone. So she threw a bone and she had said, hey, look at this. You know, her group, look at this. This is Shiva. I watched him 3 or 4 times on videos. First time I think he's a doctor. He presents himself as a doctor. Next time as a lawyer and as a politician running for office. And the next time is the greatest genius in the universe for all digital technology. He invented email. He invented cryptology. He invented everything. And then he went completely across the line. He said he has a company that can, without doing any testing on animals or humans, simply take a virus, put it into a machine, a computer, and it will analyze it and then tell you what kind of vaccine you can immediately inject into people without doing any studies. And then he went nuts. And then we've been watching the videos, and so have you. And you can, I'm going to ask you a question about his recent appearance on a very famous show. But he has been all over the place. Some of his videos have been banned. Some of them have gotten 5 million hits. And some of them are, then he gets into kind of this war with this Dr. Buttar, who I like what Dr. Buttar said. I listened to him. I thought he was good. He's a, you know, probably an osteopath, a chiropractor. So he's not an allopath. So you have to take things with a grain of salt and add what we have added. But in general, I like Dr. Shiva, lawyer Shiva, inventor Shiva, whatever, when I first listened. And then I listened carefully, and I knew he was 100% a fraud. So you were asked, a big bone was thrown your way, and you had a bunch of researchers jump on that bone. And I guess I've seen the research. I've seen it printed now and on the Cat Report and on the Americans for Innovation. You basically found all of the, what I would say, in my very terse way of putting things, you have found a person who was bred to be a cardboard cutout, Silicon Valley cardboard cutout, who then becomes a politician. And so the question always is, where does the money come from? And that's the beauty. You tracked it all back. Your researchers tracked it back to a grain of detail that is beyond imagination. So what do you think about Dr. Lawyer, greatest inventor of the world, Shiva?
Well, up until we started digging into this research, I kind of liked him. I always enjoyed his appearances, especially on Alex Jones, because he could go toe-to-toe with him. And I especially liked his campaign slogan when he was running against Elizabeth Warren, "Vote for a real Indian." I thought that was clever.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
It didn't get him elected, but it was a great line.
Yeah, but you have to say dot Indian, not feather.
Yeah.
Or Dravidian Indian, or as he likes to point out, he's black. You mean you're Dravidian? I mean, I'd much rather have specificity. That's the reason that she gets to claim she's Cherokee. Well, I'm Cherokee, and I never claimed it.
Well, here was the problem. When he would present, that was pretty good, but then he would also make this claim that he had invented email. And as you know, I had a little bit to do with AT&T's email, and I go, it doesn't make sense. But I didn't ever have the time or the interest in digging into his claims, and so never did until Betsy and the conclave started asking about patents and about intellectual property and things that we know a lot about. And that's when the edges started fraying on Shiva's story. And I to this day don't have any issues with him as a person, but the facts he's presenting are just not there. And that's what our team really dug into at the patent office and in his own websites, where he puts out a lot of this supposed evidence. And when you actually get past the kind of surface, okay, kind of this looks like evidence, and actually look at it, you realize there's no evidence there. And that's what we've discovered.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. His at first, because he doesn't, in his earlier videos, exaggerate so much and get so egotistically into it and start bragging so much and then just start calling Bobby Kennedy Jr. A moron and an idiot and I did this and he can't, and you know, this crazy venting nuts stuff. But the thing that was the question was, wasn't he on Alex Jones, and didn't he tell us about that? Did you witness that little encounter with Alex Jones?
I heard his last interview with Alex Jones, and Alex was bringing on that other person that you mentioned, and I can't remember his name, that osteopath
doctor. Yeah, Buttar,
I guess Alex was going to have him on, and it was going to get them talking to each other and going back and forth. And from what we're told, off the air, Shiva just kind of had a fit and didn't want to appear with this other gentleman. And so therefore, Alex just shut down the whole interview. And I thought that was odd. And so Betsy called me after that, and I don't know if it wasn't even about that show, but she called me and asked me about him. So that kind of motivated us to spend the time to try to find out. Usually when there's an oddity in what somebody's presenting, there's usually a fire behind it. You just have to sometimes spend some time to find it. And we certainly found it with Shiva's claims related to email.
Well, the reason he got off Alex Jones is very simple. A doctor was going to ask him questions. He claims on his website, what's the name of the group? Cytosolve. He claims he's the only person in the world that with a computer has analyzed viruses and can then skip over the stages of working with animals or humans to create vaccines instantaneously without any research, without any development, because he's the greatest genius that's ever existed. So someone would probably have just said, well, but wait a second. When you're working with reactive autoimmune ferrin markers on DNA, how would you make sure that the crossover from inferrin A or B or C wouldn't affect that? And he would say, I don't know anything that you're saying. None of those words mean anything to me. He's not a doctor. He's not a lawyer. And he didn't do anything with technology. Here's what he did. When he was a little tiny boy, as he will tell you, he was in India. This is a lie. He was not in India when he was a little tiny boy. He was in America. And that he won a competition so that he could go to MIT. Incorrect. That isn't how you got there. And then you won another competition so that you could go to the White House because they could not figure out how to encrypt Bill Clinton's emails.
Yeah, so that's encryption was all the rage when Clinton came to power. And the FBI was trying to get a backdoor key then. So the Department of Defense already had encryption. So that whole story doesn't fly.
Well, and he changes the story. And that's how he says that he's not really a Clintonite. He's not a plant by George Soros and Clinton. Oh, into the anti-vax movement. Oh, no. He claims that he had nothing to do with the Clintons. He won a contest and that he came and he solved the problems of the world with cryptology and with email. Now, remember, Bill Clinton said he never used an email in his life. Oh, but Shiva said that he was able to work on Bill Clinton's emails to make sure to sort out the voluminous amount of emails coming to Bill Clinton so that they could be sorted. That's what he claims in one place. And then recently, he now claims that he was the one who set up the cryptological keys to protect the Clinton server when Bill Clinton was in the White House, because it was of such a sensitive nature. Remember, the server was in their basement, and Bill Clinton handed it over to Hillary Clinton after he was done with it, saying he had never once used an email, ever, not receiving or sending. And then we know that if there was no cryptology, there was no protection, no security on that server, because CCs were being sent to China and Russia and 122 other nations who were paying to play to get information about what the Secretary of State was doing with the $86 billion in U.S. aid and all the OPIC contracts and all these kind of things. So Hillary Clinton's server is highly under question. So why would Shiva be bragging about he was the person who set up the cryptology? But this is my long, long question. That was the setup for this. If he claims he did email at the time after you already did, literally, and you have the proof for AT&T and the contracts and everything else and blah, blah, blah. And then if he claims to do the cryptology and you already know about the cryptology and you wouldn't enter that backdoor code into your stuff because you had some moral strength to stand up against Chandler, I suggest that Dr. Lawyer, greatest inventor in the world in computers, Shiva, would have been working against you. He would have been the cardboard cutout that they were creating at the same time that they were waiting for you to finish. Well, they'd already seen what you did with email, but waiting for you to finish all that you did to basically invent social network. And so then what does he claim? Well, he claims he invented the cryptology, which already existed at that time. So anything that there is out there that could be the greatest thing that you could do is what Mr. Shiva does. So I am 100% certain everything he says is a fraud. So I went and I checked. Is there a single company that he ever started that went anywhere? Do they exist now? Show me some record that you had any customers. As far as I can tell, he's got a website and some stories that he tells.
All right. We looked at that Cytosol website, and it, on the surface, it's one of those fake company websites that looks good, it's structured well, but it's void of content. And all the content is fluffy, touchy-feely. It's got all the right catchwords in it. And in fact, this one is really confusing, because you can't really figure out what they're doing, and you're right, that's a telltale sign of a front for something else, and we've seen too many of these now. And his Cytosol site is one of those sites.
Now my question to you is, this lunatic, when he started getting crazy recently in some of his last videos, literally yelling almost the whole time and saying friggin' this and moron and stupid and oh my. Just saying no content, just a lot of emoting, demonstrating that you emote when you have no content or logical presentation of anything that someone can substantiate. So dig this. Let's think this through. This man now claims verbally, I haven't seen him claim it in writing, that he created cryptology for the internet, for the Clintons. Wait, back up. Hillary Clinton does control the cryptology keys of the internet. So was he the guy who was going to be set up as the American front for Entrust? Was he going to be involved in the whole scam of Hillary Clinton's crypto keys? What do you think, Mike?
I don't know. I think that the timing, the main thing we noticed about all of his patent filings and claims is there's an interesting timing. And I actually was not aware of his claim related to Hillary and Bill's home server. Curiously, his name never came up in any of that testimony before Congress related to that. So that's interesting. Secondly, cryptology is not magic. It's just basically applying a certain mathematical calculation and a bunch of random numbers to an encryption key. And there you have it. So it's not... The idea that you had to invent it is ridiculous. I mean, encryption has been around for thousands of years. I mean, the Egyptians were doing encryption. So to even involve himself in the question of encryption is telling. I do know that our former ne'er-do-well patent attorney, James P. Chandler, was also very interested in encryption. And in fact, when he was getting ready to file our first patent, he secretly formed a company called crypto.com. which he then, by the end of 2001, had sold quietly, privately, without disclosing to us this relationship, to a Venezuelan company, and informed another company called Eurotech that was all involved with getting former commanders of the Navy, Army, Air Force involved with creating business opportunities for Russian scientists. That was their initial plan. And then they moved that, and they used that company for building embedded software for IBM and Microsoft over in Italy. But related to cryptography, he clearly is pitching something that the Pilgrim Society people think they need to create a buffer. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out what the buffer is. But I do know that the Chandler got quite excited about cryptography when we did a research project for Lawrence Livermore National Labs to prove our technology worked with security video. And Chandler was all excited that now, because of this project, we would be able to embed cryptography into our social networking platform. So we probably moved his agenda forward, because all that code went to the IBM Eclipse Foundation. So it appears to us, I'm going to bottom line it here, it appears to us that Shiva was some sort of Zuckerberg-like cardboard cutout, albeit much smarter and more articulate, that was running a buffer for the Pilgrim Society in the late 90s to protect IBM. And the two, in his first patent filing, he specifically identifies IBM Domino and IBM Notes, which was Lotus Notes, as prior art to his claim of email. And then that would put everybody else behind him in his pitch. But that wasn't even close to being true, because by the late 90s, he filed his in June of 1999, he filed for his first patent. And by then, the internet had many email systems, and including two that we built for AT&T. So the idea that he had invented something novel and unique in the way of email is ludicrous. But I can see that for the average layperson, they're not going to know how these claims work. And so they don't know whether to believe him or not. So they probably give him the benefit of the doubt. But as a technical guy who knows a lot about email, I can tell you that claim is bogus.
Well, also, you've noticed, because you've in your report with your expert researchers, have shown that he has been groomed. Not only has he been groomed, and he's this buffer you're pointing out, you know, running interference, but he's a double agent. Because when you first hear him, you think, oh, good, an alternative to crazy Elizabeth Warren, who I don't know how anyone could vote for. But anyway, so he looked like a good alternative. But then he wasn't crazy then. Now he's gone crazy. Why has he gone crazy? Because his cover has been blown. Because he can't answer any questions about vaccines, or because why? He's trying to be, first off, anti-vax. Well, wait a second. He's a Republican and he's anti-vax. Wait, so that's the reason. But then when he speaks, sometimes he says, like a doctor, like he's a doctor, he's been indoctrinated, that he believes in vaccination. So you can't really tell. But then he creates a company that says that it helps create vaccines, bring them to market quicker by a crazy, insane pipe dream. And then he says, but I'm not into vax. I'm not into vaccines. And then he gets into a war with Bobby Kennedy Jr., the representative, the Democratic representative, really, for the liberal progressive. Excuse me. He's representing anti-vax. He's the, just put it this way, because you can't, he gives to Hillary Clinton. So is he a Democrat? Is he a Republican? He's trying to act like he's a conservative, but he's really a history of being very Democratic. But he also is in the pocket of Hillary Clinton. So you just ask that question when you look at all the donations that Bill and Melinda Gates and the Clinton Foundation make. It's all for vaccines. All. almost every bit of, or certainly the majority of it goes, that they actually give out, for vaccine development. So we're in a vaccine war here. And so when he comes out against the guy representing the anti-vaxxers, the only person that they really allow to make statements that they don't go after at Target, Bobby Kennedy Jr., and he gets in a war with the whole movement after saying that he's for them, now he's against them, and you can't tell by anything he's done whether he's for or against them. He doesn't seem to know anything about it, especially when he speaks about it. That's when he really gets in danger. So why was he put there? And why were the tracks of his money sources covered so well? I say he's a George Soros man, but you've uncovered the real money sources, which show that it's very cleverly hidden.
Right. So before I comment on that, can I ask you a question about vaccines? Because in his claim in this CytoSol software that he can do predictive analytics on viruses and basically bypass clinical trials, if I read it right, statistically, isn't that impossible? Because a vaccine mutates, right, with every new infection.
Every virus mutates with the new host, yes.
Okay. And can you predict what the mutation is going to look like in advance?
Impossible.
So then the algorithms he's talking about are bogus. If you can't do it, then it would take all the computing power in the world and a knowledge of magical knowledge of the future to be able to build something that would do what he's claiming. Is that not right?
Correct. You would have to be insane to believe what he's saying.
Well, it sounds good.
It sounds like he's coming to save the day. You know, he's Mighty Mouse.
Well, but so maybe they're teeing him up for that.
Oh, they teed him up, and I don't know if they expected him to win or lose. I would assume if he's really a George Soros man, they wanted him to lose, but they wanted him to be a good-looking choice. But then once he got all this publicity, I think he went crazy. And now he's completely a lunatic. The last thing I saw with him with three or four other people on the screen, and he's just carrying on like a fool, he revealed who he is. He made up new lies to try to exaggerate how much smarter he is than Bobby Kennedy Jr. Okay? That's just stupid. You can go after Bobby Kennedy Jr. because he's like, that's a turkey shoot. If you can't do that, then you're not good. But for Shiva, you start to look and you find that his money sources aren't the standard ones. They're hidden. Right. You find that there seem to be some documents that have been lodged over the years that seem to have had some big money behind it. Not that it went anywhere, not that the company did anything, not that anybody gave him any credit for it, because it was all bogus. Anybody can file a patent or a copyright, right? Doesn't mean that you get it. So on and so forth. So he can make any claim he wants. And if he had the money at the time to do so, I ask the question, who was that money? I say it's Clinton money. And Clinton money was deeply concerned about the internet and email, and especially the crypto keys, which she ended up getting control of, let's say, more than the majority of them.
Well, what we see in his financing, he does disclose who his first level of financer is in his CytoSol site. And we look at that guy and his company, and it appears to be nothing more than a shell or a front for another company that he used to work for. And you go through that company and you see that that company appears to represent, in fact, they claim in their SEC filings to represent over 100 high net worth individuals, but you don't know who those people are. And then they don't seem to be the actual source of the direction of this cash. It's another group that funds them. And all we're talking about companies that all have 1.2 multiple billions of dollars under management. And then you start looking at the resumes of the investment company three layers deep, and you see all the usual suspects: Oracle, Honeywell Aerospace, in fact, Goldman Sachs. So as we have talked about many times, this appears to the venture capital business and the investment banking business appear to be organized in these concentric circles, and the outer circles is some good old boy who seems real nice and honest, and that's where you start with getting your money. But when you start looking at the people who are really pulling the strings behind the curtains, then you start seeing all the usual suspects, and all leading back eventually to the Pilgrim Society. Every time.
Yeah, absolutely. The control mechanism goes back to the elite sitting and having a dinner at the Pilgrim Society dinner party. And yep. Those can be, you know, big official ones. They probably have very private ones too, where they sit around and they decide the fate of the world. And that's just sad. But Betsy was saying, and I think that she's quite right, that there's a reason that Mr. Shiva went nuts.
Yeah, what is that reason? I didn't see the interview, but I heard about it.
Well, it's because it is now being revealed. And what happens is, you know, the Trump effect is happening, but then there's also the coronavirus effect. As you throw stuff at it, it bounces back and hits you in the head, you know. Oh, look at these numbers. Oh, they're really half. Oh, and even them, it's probably 25% of really what the... Oh, yeah. Let's see. 10,000 died in New York, but we can't find anybody in a hospital bed. And none of the emergency beds were used. And the boat wasn't used. And the ventilators weren't used. And anyway, so as you start to look at this, you go, this is pretty weird. And it's not working out very well, Fascist Fauci, Fossey, or whatever your name is. And so what's happened? They used Shiva. They threw him under the bus to come out to attack the anti-vaxxer, but just to destroy the anti-vaxxer, not even to address the issue of vaccines.
Well, who was he trying to destroy? You talking about Bobby Kennedy?
No, anti-vaxxers. Oh, Bobby Kennedy is the fake representative of anti-vaxxers. Oh. That's the reason the whole thing is so crazy, because you got people working on the same side yelling at each other. Shiva and Bobby Kennedy both work for the same crazy fund sources, in my opinion, because they're doing the same thing.
That is an old tactic, isn't it, Douglas, to make your enemy look the crazy one.
Yes.
So that then you can then point to his odd behavior to justify your position with normal people, average people who don't spend a lot of time looking at this stuff. But when they look at two people behaving, one badly, one crazy, then you have to pick from all these false choices.
I think Betsy and her team are right. I think Dr. Fascist Fauci got caught with his pants down because Trump said, as we told him, remdesivir worked. Remdesivir stopped it in Wuhan. Remdesivir stopped coronavirus in South Korea. Remdesivir has been stopping viruses for years and years, for decades, actually. These drugs were around in 1986 when they were actually helped to be created by Tony Fauci, little Tony. So little Tony knew all about these, but he won't let them be even tested in America because the National Institute of Health controls those things and tells the FDA what to do, tells the CDC what to do politically, because that's where the money comes from. He controls a huge amount of money. Literally, we can say we've spent $1 trillion on that in the NHI, the National Institute of Health, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and our donations to the World Health Organization. We've spent literally over $1 trillion on just, and what have they come up with? Three or four things that are vaccines that don't help. And then they use the industry for the CDC to come up with a variety of vaccines, and that's basically what they are. They're a vaccine mill. So what we're witnessing here is that when Trump said, well, I want to know what the alternatives are. And Fauci said, and Dr. Brix, we don't allow alternatives in this country. There will be no tests. There never have been, and there never will be. And then they tried to shame Trump. Oh, he's such an idiot. He said remdesivir. And then it was all over the news that remdesivir was the cure. And that what the other thing that he mentioned was the second thing. Let's remember, he mentioned remdesivir by name, and then he mentioned the malaria drug. We had been preaching that for weeks and weeks beforehand in all of our audios and
what
we were suggesting, and saying that if you take the malaria drug, just the three or four malaria drugs they have, it can help. But if you take remdesivir, it's a virion, and it's like the other ones that you have found now. Can you help me pronounce any of them?
No.
Plecanor nil and pyro. oh my Lord, these names sometimes have brackets and numbers in the middle of the name of the drug. Anyway,
that's intentional, by the way.
It's what?
Keep the lay people away.
You can't even say the name. Right. And you have found that there are all kinds of treatments, and some of them amazingly effective, astoundingly effective, and they're not allowed in this country.
Well, I can tell you one of the greatest surprises I had in looking into a lot of that was that the deep research is very clear that cancer and diabetes are both viruses created by viruses. And I've always suspected that, but now we've seen some real deep research. And so some of these cures were coming out of these findings that the salt that has the name you can't pronounce appears to be pretty much across the board effective with all kinds of viruses. And, you know, when you think about it, that does make sense because humanity somehow got to this point without the need for all this injection of things into our bloodstreams. Our bloodstreams were able to handle this stuff without all of this medical intervention that, remember the Dow Chemical, better living through chemistry? That seems to be what their answer is to medical health now. Better living through sticking stuff in your bloodstream.
Absolutely. And Fauci's Fauci and the whole vaccine industry globally has this to say, and they have brainwashed the doctors to believe this. There are no treatments for viruses. The only thing you can do is create a vaccine, and the vaccine is the cure. That is one that there's like 10 fallacies in that statement. No.
I mean, Douglas, you and I have talked about this many times. We go back to the turn of the last century in Britain, and the great huckster pitchman, Henry Wellcome, and his experimentation on human beings with various forms of vaccines that they already knew that these vaccines were a great warfare weapon, because if they could get you to stick it in your bloodstream, then they can kill you off without firing a bullet. And remember that medicine chest that he gave out at the Imperial Press Conference in 1909 to all those newsmen? About Absolutely. 650. And in it were four vaccines for acne. Now, that would have been given to young people and children, adolescents. And we now know there still is no vaccine for acne. So he was out there giving out who knows what in those vials to all those children in South Africa during the Second Boer War, just to see what would happen. And so they've known that this virus strategy was powerful if they could get the mixture right. And that's what we see in our pharmacies. A lot of their activity related to vaccines is to get the pharmacy right so they have ultimate control.
Absolutely. Plus, they go out, they find any virus, and then they put a patent on it. But you can't just patent something in nature. I'm going to patent an oak tree. No, you have to change it in a very significant way so that it becomes your own. That's what they do. They take it, they change the virus, and then they create a vaccine from that virus. So before they give it out as a release to create an epidemic, a pandemic, they make sure that they already have not only dozens of treatments, which are the ones not allowed in America, or they already have the vaccine. So what we got to see was Trump, because Trump is running a live action, audience involved reality television show. And so he turns right before he comes out. He obviously was reading your research, our research, because we kept saying remdesivir over and over 1,000 times, spelling it over and over. Virions, you know, take the malaria drug, any of these things, they're already curing the rest of the world. Why can't you know, Mr. President, you hear this. And so what happens? He turns and he says two things, the two things that we were harping on. How many people die of flu? And he asks his guy, and then he comes out and says it right in his thing. I just ask the Surgeon General, how many people die in America from the flu? And he goes, anywhere from 30 to 60,000 every year. And Trump almost passes out. He comes out and he goes, I didn't know that. Why? Because it's hidden and they tell you they have a flu shot. So how could there be so many people with it? Look into it. Over way more than half of them, like 68% of them, had gotten the flu shot. These shots don't get shots because unless you know what's in it. And we're not doctors. We can't recommend that. But here's the reality. Trump then said the word remdesivir. And then everyone went completely nuts because the real world knows that remdesivir has been used for a long time in countries. It's on its last stages of approval, even with the FDA and throughout the world. And it basically heals every coronavirus, rhinovirus. It kills so many viruses, it's absurd. Okay? So what does Fauci say? No, we've never studied it. We're not going to. It's dangerous. We studied it outside of the country with Ebola and a couple other viruses, and it didn't work. It had bad side effects. Incorrect. All lies. So what do we find out now? So the war, the vaccine war, which we're trying to describe here, the vaccine is literally the biggest business in the world. And with Bill Gates and the support of the elites, what do they want to do? The biggest business in the world. They want to have everyone be given a series of vaccines called Vaccine X that would make you immune to all viruses. That's their dream. Okay, this is stupid. No vaccine can do that. You'd have to have every virus that you're trying to make to heal in there in live form, and that would kill you. That's why the coronavirus and so many of the retro man-made, laboratory-made viruses that we're seeing now, they can kill you. But now we know that in California, one out of three people tested has it, so they've adjusted the numbers. The chances of you getting coronavirus and dying from it, even after you get it, is 0.003%. That's the new statistics. These viruses aren't really virulent enough to become pandemic unless you set them up. And yesterday I promised, and with Betsy, and I didn't do it, that I was going to talk about nanocannons.
Well, now that you mentioned the vaccines, what we're starting to see is this conjunction of different technologies, and the other investigation that our researchers have been on for quite a while now is this Harvard professor Charles M. Lieber, who is this nanoscientist. And as it turns out, he is definitely a cardboard cutout for the Pilgrim Society. He's got over 65 patents, his name's on everything, and he attests to having invented it all. And what we can see from his pedigree, that his father worked closely with RCA and was heavily involved in radar, satellite, and military missiles. And so there's this mentality now that somehow these nanotubes can be used as little cannons, literally little cannons. And then as we were looking deeper into that, lo and behold, we found that the Army, the Navy, and DARPA had funded Lieber to build a nanoballistic fiber, which wasn't carbon, it was silicon. And they've actually proved it, and they have different ways of getting these little particles in your body. And these particles have coatings on them that can actually find different organs to attach to. And then they can be triggered by electrical signal or 5G to do whatever it is they were designed to do. In the case of this ballistics nanotube, it will fire its contents into the cell that it's attached to, literally like a cannon. And in fact, there is this one illustration in that patent that actually looks like a cannon with no wheels on it. So the very concerning thing is that what we hear in all this vax war is, if you look at their agenda, we've got to be able to wait. We've got to create a mandatory way to get our nanotubes into everybody's body. And the best way to do that, I think they're saying, is vaccines. And so they're trying to force the public through propaganda to be willing to accept the idea that I have to go get an enforced vaccine. And then when that vaccine is given to you, who knows what's in it? Because these are nanoparticles. You can't see them. They're not, they're smaller than pepper, little pieces of pepper. And they can be jammed into this vaccine. And so once those nanoparticles are in your body, you're not your own any longer, because they will be able to trigger these devices from the outside, from 5G. And I didn't realize that nano wires, nanotubes, and nanopores were as far along as they were and are. But they actually have nano wires that are built in such a way that they can actually store data at this molecular level. And so they can actually inject little memory devices along with these destructive devices all at the same time into a person's body. And it can also be triggered to do a bio ID, because these nanopores are able to attach to a cell and open up a little, like put a little electrodes inside the cell and monitor the cell without killing the cell. And so then that can identify your DNA. And once they have your DNA, they've got your identity. And that's, we're not talking science fiction here. They can do this now.
And that's the whole point why Dr. Shiva had to be thrown under the bus, or is throwing himself under the bus. Because the vax wars have now become public to the common person, because Trump made them so inadvertently by making reference to ultraviolet disinfecting of the blood. Very common. It's been going on for a long time. You take your blood out, hit it with ozone, put it back in, no viruses. This has been going on for 40 years. Or that there are literally detergents. They all laughed when he said, you know, oh, disinfect. There's disinfectants and detergents in most vaccines. And if you don't believe it, go to the report we just put up. We give you all the ingredients for the vaccines. So what is happening is the following. The biggest lie on the face of the earth, that vaccines heal viruses and that we need vaccines, has now become clearly available for people to look at objectively. And so we know that the previous pandemics and epidemics were man-made, they're fake. We know that the people who run the agencies that are supposed to be health are actually there to harm us and to give us poisonous vaccines. And when you're talking about what they can do with vaccine X that they want to give to everybody on the face of the earth, well, guess what? They've already done it. And they did it to you and I and our whole generation. They gave us vaccines that were laced with all kinds of horrible things. In the old days, it was different stuff than now. They used different poisons now, but it was still poisons. And the doctors have come out and said, yes, our entire generation was basically given cancer in our vaccines. And you go, well, what? Literally cancer? Yes, cancer and carcinogenic materials, but also man-made viruses that were put in those vaccines to try to manipulate them to make them more virulent. Now you'd say, that's crazy. Why would you do that? Well, just look at the list of what they put in vaccines now and then call me crazy after that. But this has been going on a long time. It's now come to the surface. The light has been shown on it. And it, the evil of this powerful, what we call big pharmaceutical or big pharma lobby for global vaccinations, shows that the World Health Organization and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention actually control the whole world now, don't they? Mm-hmm. Because they control all the bioweapon labs in the whole world, all the P4 labs, and they control the release of these pandemics. They've done four in China. They've done three or four in Zaire. Multiple polio vaccine. You know, they are experimenting with people. So we are looking at the biggest evil on the face of the earth. Now you say that's an exaggeration? No. Look what they did to us. They have quarantined the whole world. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to let us out until we all agree to get their new vaccine and then to be marked with some kind of digital marker, you know, whether it's an RF implant, which now is approved by the FDA just the other day. They can put tattoos on you. They can put it under the skin, so on and so forth. They put a wet work in you And then they, just as Mike just said, they can completely control you. So we're looking at this being revealed now. And people who used to say that I was insane, because I've been preaching this since day one, they now say, oh my goodness, you're right. Now, here's the sad news. They knew when they, this is unbelievable. They know, and we have put research in the new intelligence report we just released, that anytime a child has an enterovirus, a virus taken in by the mouth and goes into the intestines, which is measles, mumps, rubella, any of the ones that they give vaccines for, which all have live viruses in them. So every child in America, if they're on the standard immunization program, and they almost all have to be or you get locked up, have been given so many viruses, enteroviruses, that they certainly have not overcome all of them. And some of them, like chickenpox, go and lodge varicella, lodge it themselves in the spine or other nerves or other tissue. And then they get released sometimes decades later. So here's the sad news. The doctors all say, now that we know this, yes, I guess we did, with vaccine theory, inoculate entire generations with enteroviruses that then became cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. And specifically with diabetes, they know exactly how it happened in the exact formula. It's all in the reports. And so some weeks ago, you and I and some others were having a conversation, and this came up, and somebody said something like, diabetes, is it a virus? And where did it come from? And then we started looking into it. And within a few minutes of you and I and a few others being on the phone and just looking up a few things, we're going, oh Lord, this goes back to Purbright Institute. They took what was a bacterial virus in diabetes, which they used to call, diabetes 1 isn't the same as the original ancient diabetes, but it's been known for all times. So it's a bacterium. It's a bacteria. Well, guess what? Diabetes is now a virus. It's a virus with the bacterium in it. Well, that makes it man-made. And guess what? If you had a shot, a vaccine shot, if you were our age when you were young, you were given enteroviruses, which means you were given the capacity and the proclivity and inclination to have cancer, heart disease, and diabetes.
Right. That's true. That's what our investigations have led us to conclude. And the issue with diabetes is that the general attitude is that it's a problem of lifestyle for the person who has diabetes. And so it's your typical bully's approach to protecting themselves by blaming the other person of what they've been doing. And I always suspected there was a problem here because it had become so rampant and it was being blamed on Western lifestyle and this and that and pollution and everything. You know, you can basically blame anything, diabetes, on anything that you choose to make your political hot potato. And that's what they've done. And yet when we dug into the science, I mean, the scientists were real clear, diabetes is a virus. And they've actually identified various causes where the viruses came from. And they've identified a particular animal in Sweden that in the Lungan River region of Sweden that had a particular strain of virus that they called the Lungan virus until it, by the way, was renamed by Purbright, that actually causes diabetes in the animals that were being tested with it. So you look at, and it looks like there was some effort to try to get some of these to market, but at all the critical times, these projects were dropped. And you got to ask why, given we know why. I mean, look at the money being made by diabetes in our pharmaceutical markets. They don't want to lose that market. And it's enormous. I mean, Those diabetic pens are unbelievable. They're like $150 each. And it's probably $5 worth of, if that, of actual insulin. So they're making a fortune. And it's all government money because of Medicare is paying for all of it.
This is Betsy. I have to tune in. It's not just that. It's about the supply chain to Americans of insulin. That could wind up being a security problem in some way, another form of creating this bioweaponry terror that all of a sudden the United States doesn't have enough supply of insulin to get out to all the diabetic patients out there.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, isn't it interesting that some of the major providers of that insulin are Sanofi, which is at Pirbright, Boehringer Ingelheim, which is also running the former Mariel Animal Institute at Pirbright, and you've got Lilly, which is associated with the Pirbright people and Wellcome Trust, and you've got all these same people that seem to be raking in the dough with this problem called diabetes.
So true, and I was amazed, shocked, and it proved it to me when I found out that for no reason whatsoever, Pfizer in America and GlaxoSmithKline, which is Wellcome, transformed into what it is today, gets a piece of every single vaccine, whether they made it, distributed it. They don't have the patent. They don't lease the patent. They don't. Why would two specific pharmaceutical companies get a piece of every single vaccine in the world?
Because the Pilgrim Society insiders all have monopolies and they're jealous of each other. And so, in order to manage these monopolies, they create two or three monopolistic players and then they agree to share the key technology with each other and the revenues so that nobody gets their nose out of joint. It's a deal, it's a business deal.
Right. And the Queen owns the golden share of Pirbright.
Yep, absolutely. And Serco and Kinetic are both tied at the hip with Pirbright, as is MI5, since the former MI5 director M is now the chairwoman of the Pirbright Institute. So this is a tight little Gordian knot of people at the top in the Pilgrim Society who have seized power in very key elements of our lives and are now trying to push their agenda, their political agenda, on us through their science. And it's all interconnected. They've got the wireless element of this. They wanted to be able to trigger the pathogens wirelessly so that they didn't have to get out of their pajamas. And they built that secret data center at the Pirbright property that gives them the power to actually do that, to broadcast a signal that could literally wipe out whole countries once they're a vaccine and once they had all the appropriate nanotubes injected into them through the vaccines.
Well, I can't prove that Pirbright and Burroughs Wellcome created the virus of diabetes that has the bacteria of diabetes 1 in it. But I can point out that Burroughs Wellcome, it basically created and bragged that they and controlled the insulin market for how long?
Oh yeah, since the late 1800s. Actually, it was at 19, there's various dates on when they think it was discovered, but from the moment that it was discovered, Pirbright jumped, I mean, not Pirbright, but Wellcome, Henry Wellcome jumped on it. And so he added the insulin offering into their little box of death way back in the beginning and then started seizing control of the production and manufacturing of it. And I'm sure that from early days it was manufactured at Pirbright.
And I'm certain that Kinetic, that runs most of the P4 bioweapon labs for Britain and has one of their major ones through Muriel Animal Health Institute in China itself, and is in direct contact with the Wuhan what's it called? The Institute of Virology. And so they're deeply connected. We've already shown how all of that worked. And this is a British thing. When the British needed a Brexit, and first off, when the British couldn't bring Trump down during the election, and they worked hard, we've proven that. Yes. Then they couldn't bring him down once he became president with the Mueller. This is all British. The controllers for Mueller, for Comey, all British. Then what did they decide to do? They tried everything they could. China, they tried with counterfeit gold. They tried the IMF approach. They tried the cashing in treasury bonds. So Britain has been controlling China to try to become what Henry Kissinger said, the world leader. And it is not. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't even be on the list. So what's really going on? The British, to get a Brexit deal, and as their last ditch attempt, their last bullet was to pull out the thing they did not want to have revealed, and now they have revealed it, that vaccines are a lie, that there are dozens, if not hundreds or thousands, of treatments for viruses, and it is that we allow people to die of these common viruses that literally are man-made and given out in vaccines and inoculations is it's a sin and a shame of the worst type of sin, because this is perpetrated. This is not accidental, folks. This was not an accidental release. This wasn't just some people in the lab who made a mistake. No. Britain has released these pathogens, these viruses, again and again in China to see what would happen. What they want to have happen is to kill billions of people. They've been very disappointed with the numbers of deaths from HIV and from other viruses, from other pandemics that they created and they released. And Herb Wright is always a part of them. And if you look at the list of who Bill and Melinda Gates gives to in our new intelligence reports, those are the P4 labs throughout the world. Those are the universities who are paid to do this work and then be complicit to tell the same lie. I'm going to repeat the lie. And the next time someone says this, understand it's not even a lie. This is propaganda to kill people through a protracted vaccine war that tries to make viruses an illness that cannot be treated except by vaccines.
Here's the ultimate control. They're trying to inject all these carbon nanotubes, nanowires, and nanopores into the vaccines so they can use the propaganda of you need a vaccine to protect yourself from future viruses as the motivation for you to say, well, okay, give me the shot. And then once they've done that, that propaganda is finished, and then the nanoparticles start doing their thing. The nano cannons start going off. It can contain a virus that can be released through simple 5G radio. You being in the proximity of 5G is enough to trigger it if they turn up the volume, basically, on the 5G broadcast. So it appears that 5G and this nanoparticle is the last element of their control that they know they have to have in order to achieve this control objective. That's what we're seeing out of all this science that these guys are trying to push at us.
And remember that Richard C. Walker's Internet of Things patent that your researchers discovered and we brought to light includes controlling all vaccines.
It does. Yes.
And so this is not an imagination.
By the way, at the same time as Shiva was pushing forward his first patent, his first patent application, he pushed it in June of 1999. And by the fall, the CIA had created InQtel, Bill Clinton had formed the Clinton Foundation. What else happened in that year? They started Alibaba in China, and then Yahoo formed an alliance with this new Alibaba. I mean, 1999 was a big year for their move to develop this global system. And Shiva was right there in that mix. And then we look at the patent attorney that he used, and that was a real telltale sign that this guy was a very experienced Silicon Valley patent attorney whose other clients included the Canadian telephone system, which we now know is totally controlled by the Pilgrim Society and the Privy Council. So Shiva was in the company of the Pilgrim Society And what we think happened is that up until we came along with our invention, the technical market believed that Lotus Domino, or IBM Domino and Lotus Notes, were going to be the collaborative environment for this new internet. And they had put all their money on IBM and that. And then in the telling thing is that they gave us a tell in the filing of Shiva's application, because those are the only two products they mention as prior art. And so therefore, they clearly believed that groupware was the thing. And if any of you are technical, you remember that age, groupware was a religion. It was Novell GroupWise, it was Microsoft Exchange, it was Lotus Notes, Lotus or IBM Domino. And we saw that that was our opportunity, because we saw that the entire market, when we had our magic aha moment, we knew that the entire market was believing in the wrong direction, because we had discovered the Achilles heel of groupware. And we've discussed that before in other broadcasts. But we went another direction. And when we came out of the chute and first met Chandler, I am sure that these people were shocked, because they had been setting up Shiva to be the buffer for anybody who would make a claim of doing anything in collaboration that wasn't IBM. So they had funneled the entire argument for the future patenting of collaboration to make Shiva the big insulation. And then we came along with a social networking approach, which is a totally different technology and architecture. And I'm sure that was a shock for them. And that's why I think they scrambled and found Zuckerberg, because Shiva was their original Harvard story. And when we came along with social networking, they had to create a new cardboard cutout, and that became Zuckerberg. That's what we think happened.
It looks like wherever they needed Shiva, they have placed him for decades and decades. And he's an expert wherever they place him. And he's a genius, and he's come to help us all and protect us all. And thank heavens that he's on the earth, because, you know, he can solve any problem there is. That's basically what he said in his last video. So what I'm going to point out is they threw him at Elizabeth Warren to make sure she probably got reelected. They threw him at Bobby Kennedy Jr. because the whole vaccine war is becoming clear to people, and they're finding that there are treatments for viruses. And so they had to obfuscate it. They had to make it very confusing for people and take the distract from what was happening right there on their TV every day. Trump was proving Fauci to be a liar, and that's why Fauci lied every time he came on. He changed the story every single time. Because why? It's a big, gigantic lie. So thank you, Mr. Dr. Lawyer, great inventor of Shiva, for showing me that you were used as simply fodder in the cannon, thrown under the bus to try to distract from the fact that the rest of America now knows the fraud of coronavirus and the fraud of the vaccine industry and big pharma, because they've now done the polls say that way less than half of Americans believe that 63,000 people have died of coronavirus 19. Everyone believes their inflated numbers. No one believes the story. And so thank you very much, Fauci, for coming out and putting a chink in the armor so that we could, you know, look through to see the kind of evil that really drives our health industry here in America, which should be changed to our illness industry, because that's all we're concerned of.
We've talked about this before, but in the Charles M. Lieber, 65 Charles M. Lieber patents, the National Science Foundation, the Naval Research Center, and the National Institute of Health were by far and away his three largest funders for all of the nanotechnology.
It's a war out there, Mike, and that's what you're underscoring there. It's a war, and there's many wars going on, but you can't win it if you don't know your enemy, and right. You sure can't get it if you don't know where the battlefield, and folks, don't look any further than your own bloodstream. That's where the battlefield is right now. So thank you, Mike, for bringing this to light and helping all those people who have these disorders and diseases perhaps get a new perspective on it so that they can get some hope. There's many treatments for viruses. So the very things they tell you, no doctor can help you with except to give you poisonous radiation or chemotherapy. That's not true. There's a lot of hope out there. So thanks for bringing more hope to the world, Mike.
You're welcome. Great to talk to you, Douglas.